We were flying from Barranquilla, Colombia, to Bogota, Colombia. South American Airlines. A young Jewish boy on that plane, salesman for their airline, could speak five different languages, and one was old English. Began to talk, and he began to ask some questions. Found out we were preachers. He said to me, he said, "Now, I don't want you to think that I'm being critical, but I would really like to ask some questions." He said, "Now, you will talk about this man, Jesus Christ." He said, "If he was so great, and you, of course, declare him to be God, and he was so great, why did he have to hurt himself? To save. Why didn't he just reach out and save?" I was so thankful he asked that question. That gave me the greatest opportunity to witness about our lovely Lord. Why did he hurt himself to save if he was so great? That's what makes this story so beautiful. Man had never seen the outstretched love of God until Jesus Christ came and suffered for us. God prescribed a plan of salvation, deliverance for people, and in his prescription he required there be a sufferer. And that, of course, became himself. How would man know his real love? How would they know? If he just by a master hand reached out and said, "All right, I'm going to save you and you and you." That would have been power. That would have been majesty. But that would not have been love. The beautiful story is depicted and portrayed to us in the book of Songs of Solomon. And for a long time I never could quite understand Songs of Solomon. It's a beautiful book, but it's kind of a mystery until you know the key. That story is beautiful. Solomon, the great king that could command just whatever he wanted, that's what he did. Had all of the resources at his command. Chariots and soldiers. And had many wives, many concubines. He decided he wanted a certain girl he just sent for. That was all. It was good. And there was no question. They had to give up their daughter. She had to come. But the beauty of that story, there was one that he found one day and decided that it would be unfair to himself, to her, to just take her by command. She become his bride. And Solomon, literally, for a time, left his throne. Ordered a shepherd's guard and lived on the mountains around about his kingdom as a shepherd. He tended sheep just like a lowly shepherd. Beside the vineyard that this girl was tending, all of this time she did not know him, who he was. The courtship began. Finally, one day he told us that, "I've got to leave. You won't see me for a while, but I'll be coming back." He had finally won her heart. And the second, third chapters, and even to the fifth chapter, Book of Songs of Solomon, is dreams that she had about him. She's dreaming about him. A beautiful story. Finally, one day, of course, he had instructed her to stay close to the vineyard, a certain spot there in the vineyard. And one day, she said she saw him coming, leaping on the hill with his mighty, valiant men and cherubs. Solomon had come after his bride. That story is beautiful, but there's far more beautiful story that it really represents. And that's when our lovely Lord disrobed himself of his royal glory and power, and put on himself a shepherd's garb, as it were. He could have demanded every one of us to serve him this morning. We'd have no choice, but he'd rather woo us under him. And that's the reason he came the way he did, to court this human family and to get out of it a bride. And I'm very glad that I yielded to the courtship. Thrilled over today. Praise God and praise Him. Now we encourage you to be much in prayer this afternoon and for the service tonight. Thrilled to see visitors here today and so many of you coming out. We wish you could come in the night services. We feel like you're missing something. Covering so many folks in this town that don't come to this church, claim the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and baptize in Jesus' name, and yet don't come to this church. I'd be glad when we get them all rounded up and get them prayed through and make them to understand an obligation they have to the house of God. I warn you, you cannot be saved out there by yourself. You've got to have God. Right. Well, time passes so fast on us, I just wish we had. I wish it was like it was in Jamaica. You get up to preach there in Jamaica on Sunday morning, they are very disappointed if you don't preach and hold them somewhere around 3 o'clock. Oh, they're disappointed. Because the majority of them will stay there all day anyhow, praying, singing. And of course, the difference between this congregation and that one is, of course, not only the color of faces, but you're disappointed if we don't close at 12. But I hate to disappoint you this morning, but it's very possible you will be. But some of you, I believe, is hungry for the life.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. One more time, if you will, let's just love Him together from the bottom of your heart. Thank God and thank God. Jesus, we love you today. Jesus, we love you today. Jesus, we love you today. Chapter of the book of Judges, to begin reading at the first verse. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves That's what God's looking for, somebody that is not forced, but willing. On over to the sixth verse, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. Would you please notice the condition that existed? Highways were unoccupied. Travelers walked through byways. Inhabitants of the villages ceased. Until something happened. Now, I really don't expect to get many converts this morning. Really don't intend to. Would not even plan on it. If I could just get two of you, I could make disciples out of you. These two is all I would really need. The rest of you could take your nap now while we preach. But if I could just reach two of you, that's all I would feel like. I had really accomplished something if I could reach two of you. I don't intend to reach the rest of you. I don't plan to. No, I will not. But if I could just get two of you, then I would have succeeded this morning in the purpose of this message. It's a very strange and peculiar message. Maybe for some of you, but I'm going to talk about motherhood. It's not Mother's Day by no means, but I'm going to talk about motherhood. Maybe a little shocking to you, but I want you to know that I am a mother. I've got some babies. There I am. Got some children. They're mine, too. In case that sounds a little strange and you think that's a false claim, the Apostle Paul, a genuine man, was not anything feminine about him. A genuine man. He said, I, Paul, travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. I travail and gave birth to you, and now I'm travailing in birth again until Christ be formed in you. A genuine man talking. Paul actually gave birth to this church, to these people. And he said, not only did I travail and give birth to you, but I'm travailing again. So the claim is not false. It is altogether fitting. And I believe you'll understand it as we go into this message. The inhabitants of the village ceased. The travelers walked through byways, the highways were unoccupied, until that I, Deborah, arose. And not only did I arise, she said, but I arose a mother in Israel. A mother. The greatest need of Pentecost today is the spirit of motherhood. There is no need as great as that. Our pews will be empty, our altars will be empty until somebody takes hold of the spirit of motherhood. And as I say, I do not expect you all to do it. Some of you couldn't. You just couldn't receive it. You are in no position to receive it. Doesn't mean you're not saved. But they're just some folks just, of course, I don't mean to say that everyone that doesn't have it is lost or are saved. It's very possible the reason you don't have it could cause you to be lost. But some folks have never felt the vision. They've never understood it. We preach the necessity of the Holy Ghost very clearly. But friend, there's something, the reason why you got the Holy Ghost is more than to save yourself. You immediately become a savior of others if you walk with God as you should. As the apostle plainly taught, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. So there are far more things out there for you. Receiving the Holy Ghost is only an introduction to it. Of course, you could receive none of these things except by receiving the Holy Ghost, first of all. But after having received it, then you launch on out into these different phases of the work of God and the ministries. And the most valuable and most important is this one of motherhood. You will turn to the book of Exodus, first chapter, 15th verse, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Sipra and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. Will you please note the distinction? The Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. I would like for you to know this morning there is a definite, distinct difference between this church and any other church.
Hallelujah.
No doubt, if we were like other men, other churches, we could have already numbered up quite a number of membership. No doubt, we could have shook hands with quite a number already, signed them up, and they would be members. In fact, it's got to where it's pretty simple to do that. They don't even have to have a long revival. 10-day meetings long enough. Write up quite a few. So many converts and what have you. But this church stands out, distinct, different, and separate from any other church in this town. We are not like the Egyptian women. This church does not bring forth members like they bring forth members. This is not a card signing affair. Friend, when you get into this church, there's a process.
Hallelujah. It's not a handshake. It's not that, friend. It goes beyond that. There is a definite and distinct process to get in the church of the living God. And that process is this. It shall be said of Zion, this and that man was born in her. You don't get in this thing without birth. To get into this church, there is a distinct process of birth. And that makes us different from everything in the country.
All you have to do, of course, to get in those other places is raise your hand, make a decision for Christ, put your hand on the radio, shake your hand, sign a card, and that's it. And you're in. And you can't get out.
But it's different than God's church.
For you to become a member of His church, there is a definite process. And it's a lot more serious than some folks realize that it is. It's a lot more costly than some folks think it is. Every member of this church that I'm talking about, of God's church,
every member of this church is not a member of God's church. I can tell you that. Not only this church, but others.
There's names on rolls that don't even have anything to do with the name of the eternal roll. But I'm talking about God's church. I'm talking about the one that has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone whose name goes on that great membership roll of the immortal scrolls of eternity came by a very definite plan, process. And it was costly. It did not just happen. It wasn't an automatic thing. It wasn't a casual thing. It was a process. You just don't have babies without mothers. I said you just don't have babies without mothers. It has not come to the incubator's deal so far. It has come like it always. You want to know how a baby's born, go back there to the first. See how it was born, that's exactly how the last one would be born. And I say, if you want to know how to get in the church of the living God, go back there where the first ones got in, and that's how the last ones are going to get in.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
The process. There is a definite distinction. The Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. Thank God, I'm glad I realized that. Oh, listen, friend, when somebody gets into this thing, it's not like joining the Lions Club or the Boy Scout meeting. I want you to know that. There's more involved than that. Oh, if God would help us as His people to realize the need of motherhood in the church. Now, there are four
different groups involved in the birth of a child.
There is the mother, there is the doctor or midwife, there is the relative, and there are the friends of that child.
Four different groups. Now here in the book of Exodus we find mentioned midwives. And then there's another mention of midwives too. And of course the king had given orders for these midwives as they waited upon these Hebrew women to kill the men's children. And they didn't do it. The Bible said they feared God. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives. The people multiplied and waxed very mighty, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God that He made them houses. king was very disturbed why they hadn't done this thing. And the answer was, they're not like the Egyptian women. They're lively and they're deliberate. Ere the midwives come into them. There's a difference. There's a distinction. And of course, that is a very important point here, and I want this church to get attained. When the church really gets lively, like it ought to, then, of course, you don't even need this midwife too. That's all in the world is all to be here, is a midwife too. When the church gets lively enough, why, they can be born sitting back there on that bench. While the song service is going on, testimony service is going on.
Glory to God.
One night in Houston and Brother Kilgore's church revival, while they was taking up an offering, the lady just prayed through to the Holy Ghost back there. Well, offerings are not so bad after all. God filled a woman with the Holy Ghost while they're taking up an offering. It was because the Hebrew women had become lively. And were delivered. There the midwife came up. I'll tell you where I got this message, and I preached it in against every church except one, and I read the text of preaching in it and took sick and couldn't finish it. The Lord spoke to me and told me to tell his people. Where I got this message is in my mother's church one night under the old tabernacle. All this glory. There were several of us around the man there praying at the altar. No instruction, just praying and praying, and looked like it wasn't getting anywhere. Praying hard. And of course, the rest of the church, as usual, was back in the back. And I got to preach there, you know, like it. You know how it is. It wants to help. How do you like that car you just called? And all this actually making as much noise as we want, if not more. Laughing, banging, getting on. We was laughing, and praying, oh God. But the fusion back there was hindering, and the man who seemed to be able to get his eye on the Lord. But after a while, somebody touched God. I don't know who it is. Somebody. And the old boy threw his hands up and began to speak in tongues. My beautiful voice came from the back. Hallelujah! Whoop, 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 that's wonderful. Keep laughing. The Lord. He told him to back off and get out of the way. Let him have a space. And I backed off and I began to walk. Oh, God love you, brother. We're so happy. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Glory to God. Move that bitch. Move it. The Lord said, now, son, I want to teach you a lesson. No, I'm glad I learned it. He said, these folks that came up here, rushing up here, they are not the mother of that child. Mother, midwife, relative, friend. When a baby's born, you know, folks go to the hospital and look through that glass. Pull the lady across home while I'm talking to the son. I don't think I'll just pray about somebody. They walk over it. And they walk all the
today that if there's any honor to be passed out, it's not those that the bacon and the doing and the ooing over that hill. It's that little pale-faced woman that has suffered death to bring that baby here. There's the one that gets the honor. I said, there's the one who gets the honor. Wake up and hear me. There's the one.
He said, these folks are only relatives. Now, there was three or four of us around him. And who became the mother, heaven only knows. But even though there were three or four around, does not mean that all three or all four of them were mothers. They were midwives. That's a good job. That's an honorable position. Because we need some good midwives. I said, we need some good midwives. That's the ones that stand around. That's the men sitting in the ear. You say, hold on to God. Come and say, come and look. Come and say, help you up. Come and say, get up. And that's what they do. That's it. Well, don't stop. For God's sake, keep a hollering in the ear.
Hallelujah.
Oh, please do. Don't. Please do that. And we need some good midwives. That's all in the world, that is midwives. And this is a midwife, too, right here. The only reason you need all the things in church is when the Hebrew women are not right. This all the things is made for one thing, and that's for the midwives, too. God never did really plan that people walk around on all the things all their life. Isaac said he will not love an unclean temple, which means if he hadn't come in, there's something in there that hadn't done. Well, he had put them on the holy. It's nothing but the sin of unbelief, and of course that's enough to send him to hell. Now, it's the sin of unbelief without that point. So, it's nothing but the sin of unbelief. But anyhow, there are some cases. Some cases where that it's necessary to have a midwife. The fifth and the birth, that child. And Lord knows we need some praying along that line. But not against it. We need it. I'm pleading for more of it.
Hallelujah.
But it doesn't really go on the record to honor the midwife. It's the mother. First, because it's as hard as there's a woman. Will you face woman that suffered under coldness? When that baby is there, it's thank you. Get your hat to her. And don't forget it, God's got birth certificates recorded in the Lord's soul of his country. And he's got men who go better than the mother
there.
When the day comes to give out a warrant, he's going to warrant off the mother and give them their honor.
Hallelujah.
Some folks can live a lifetime in church and never be nothing but a relative. Some can live a lifetime and never be nothing but a good midwife. But how can we be satisfied to just be a midwife? To know how to keep them praying and keep them down and keep them worshiping. How can we be saved?
Hallelujah.
And of course, some have never learned to be a good midwife. All they know to do is just certain little things that they've seen someone else do. And that can be dangerous.
I know one man that was so evil. Well, there's some man that's praying in the altar. And he just had a sin in the man. And his sin.
But this big old robust fellow was got him by the shoulders.
Just a chicken in it. Take it in. That old boy beat out, and another big one got up there in his place. Take it. Let the puppy get out.
And they couldn't bring him through, so they were standing on top of him.
That's the poor boy down there, and that's his epic. He was a little relief.
Well, they stand on top of him. When the evangelist got there, he heard it all. You know what they're talking about? Sure. They said, listen, let's just try to change them over.
Well, we need some training with all that time to get out. I know in Houston, there's a boy there in the church, he never had that before. Came off close to it, but they were, some old fellow playing with him around there. And the one to get behind him, one in front.
The men out there said, I am so ticklish that I can't hold it. They said, no fellow get me in the rear. And they thought he'd get the blessing and they'd do it for him.
And by the way, I just came with a prophecy song, and he looked at me and he said that. Oh, boy.
That old man left alone. You left there without the Holy Ghost, without any experience, without never been, you ever got, has probably wound up a chronic seeker. So we need real good midwives. We need someone to know when. Sometimes they jerk their hands up too quick, want them to worship God too quick. They need to do some more repentance. On the other hand, they try to make them repent too long. And when they have thoroughly repented, that's the time to get them to love the Lord. And it takes a good midwife to know that. Know when to do what. And it'll work. But we've made not only chronic, but we've made second chronicles out of some of them. Because they didn't know how to work with them. They don't know how to do it.
God spoke a message one day for our death, and he said, this is all he said, but it was enough. He said, if I can find one to weep, I can find many to save. There's too many dry eyes in Pentecost, hard hearts.
If you'll pardon this statement, we are living in a preventative age. It used to be a real embarrassment to have a 4 or 5 week revival without praying a whole bunch of things of the Holy Ghost. In fact, those old time preachers would stop the church and go through a confession service and find out what's the matter.
Hallelujah.
Don't tell me they didn't do it. I know what I'm talking about. And brother, if it ain't good, they come to you and say, now what's wrong with you? They find out why God wasn't sending people with the Holy Ghost. Where are the creation? What's wrong? What's preventing the birth of children in this church? Now then, if you can have a pretty good thing for nature and build a Sunday school up here, that's all right, that's fine. One man praying, three blessed.
And we highly recommend this land.
I want you to know it's still an embarrassment. We'll have a revival in our places. When God Himself says He could find one to lead, He could find one.
Hallelujah.
He said if you'll go forth weeping, you'll come again. But y'all can bring in your sheep.
Hallelujah.
Didn't he say it? And didn't the book plainly, emphatically state, when Zion prevailed, she brought forth her children?
Hallelujah.
Is that in the Bible?
Amen.
Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that part of the Bible? Well,
you say, Brother Bean, why haven't we had more people pray through? Well,
forget eating for a while. Forget it for a lot of stuff that just some folks are so busy. I haven't seen them. If the spirit went out of the house, they wouldn't even stop to pray. I believe in having a neat house and all of that, but we're in a revival. And what do you do when it comes time for a baby to be born? Do you have an all-out clean out of the house? No, sir, brother, it's time to get something else done. And I'm telling you the hour from
answering
it right
now.
Oh, God, and get along with Him. Oh, when I ask you to praise Him, God, give me children or I'll die. With God's opposite attitude from the queen, wrote him and said, listen, God, he said, Francis declared quarrel, and we got to have prayer. God went to his room, and this is what he said. He said, God, give me strength or give me death. And that's all he said. And the next day, Prince raised the white flag. Prince surrendered. I hope you know somebody that will lay hold on God. But that's for Christmas. He said, give me children or I'll die. Give us souls or I'll bury. I'm not even going to buy it until my loved one is saved. I'm not even going to buy it until there's a breakthrough in this revival. Oh God, here I am. From the south of tears running down your people. You don't care what you stand like. Well, City said he visited a woman's house one day. And her husband was an infidel. And he heard in the next room a sound sounded like a dying cat. Such powerful room. That's why that woman went forth and fell on the floor in the living room. And the office that twisted them. And if you've been that way for a number of days, and the only relief you could get was someone else would get in. Otherwise, you would be next to them. And after a while, that old heart on the end of that. It saw that woman in that floor, screaming and groaning, surveying and groaning and sitting there. And after a while, he fell on his face. And cried, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Listen to me. That they may not have had the truth, but they had something that we need. That do have the truth. And I'm telling you that they had something that we need. Well, they said I was compelled to pray 3 and 4 days without stopping with groaning. He wouldn't come out of that haystack. He would get to the place he'd say, God, you don't really believe that I'm going to come out of this haystack to be rescued. God, you don't believe God's city will come to you loose to be rescued. You've got to tell that. That's not it. That's not
it.
Oh, here we are. For the revival. And of course, we've got all this collection of junk. And we want to do that. All the prophetic spirits of the world, we can step to them. They are all together against the real prevail. They're a conception of a burden. They are not that kind. The Bible speaks about book of Song of Solomon. It speaks about that protein and that marriage. He speaks about the mandrake. To the mandrake to the good man. The mandrake was a flower that came off the common. And both folks back in those days. I had a feeling that when you try and take the whole time to give off that column,
that it was supposed to have some courage to accept it. And they would go further to the flowers. And they were in for that power to kill the air. And in their minds, they thought that it would be good. And in their minds, they thought that it would be good to accept it. It's a man's race, get a good man. But our trouble is, we don't have any more. We don't have the environment that is courage. Instead, we've got the gay heart left. Frivolity, worldly, and here we are. Playing like children with the greatest thing that ever was. Playing like children with the greatest thing that ever was. Dealing with a soul that's got the face that long is coming. And maybe somebody in the altar and somebody standing back laughing and talking. All right. But the man was. Oh, God will give us this environment. That's why I'm preaching holiness. That environment brings conception of the virgin. Oh, the dedication to God automatically brings conception of the virgin. It'll do it, sir, to know what I'm talking about. If you'll get rid of all that stuff and make up your mind that I'm going to live for God and I'm going to face God and I'm going to get close to God, I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to be stubborn. I'm not going to be rebellious. I want to be a mother in the person of the living God. I want to be. Praise the Lord. I want to have some children. I want to go to God. I don't want to bless. You know, it was so important for the man of children to carry on his name that if he died without his children, his brother was the man of his wife. When the bear children and his name, that's how the best of God will want to die without children. That's not it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Here we are, Lord. Here we are. And actually, the souls all around us is dying. From the influences to the matter, we're here and how we are. Well, I'm sorry, Jesus, I have to go on to hell, but all things. I haven't got time too much to do. I haven't got to see you much to do. No, I've got so much something to do on the phone. Oh, if some of you would dedicate that phone, right? Not only your television, but your phone. Put that thing on the hook and say, God, I'm not touching it today. The wind is on my hand. I'm going home with you and I'm going to talk to you. Oh, I'm not coming out of this room until I have anything. You just don't have children born without surveying. There's got to be the pain of surveying before a child can be born. They just don't come yet. Friend, you don't have them born in this church without some fear. You say, well, Brother Dean, I didn't see any tears that night, but that the person prayed through the Holy Ghost and just prayed, and just got it, we all got it, and got over it. But friend, that's not the end of that story. Somewhere, somebody's room, somebody's house, somebody's surveying for that child, or it would not have been born. They don't have to be without it. There's no such a thing as a soul born without fear. No such a thing. I said there's no such a thing, and I wish it were rested. It's not, but I know that I'm trying to get it. There's no such a thing without a soul being born without fear. I know there's a hospital up in the town, hot rotted it, and got a running through like chicken cow. But friend, a lot of that is not hopeless. I said a lot of that. I'm telling you, the way to really get the Holy Ghost, you've got to come on. It's to be set aside and mention that name. And when you're born and you're letting them mock you, somebody grow, somebody grow. Somebody's ache, somebody's hurt, somebody's in pain. Oh, but after that boy's born, the mother forgets every hour, every moment. That's because the child is in the world now. And how it is when we have travail, and after we travail, we see somebody way through. How we forget those hours of the drone. They just fade away. We're ready to start over again. We're ready to go right back to the same place. Forgetting that I've actually not been this for any honor. But I've actually surveyed you, and I've been sore, like I was burnt, like I was touched inside for days. Such travail until it seemed like that my inside would come out of me. And that's it. The inhabitants of the villages. Our churches will be there. Our churches will be dead. Our churches will be hell. Until somebody gets the hold of God for that old-fashioned way of laying hold of God. The way all the glory cannot be out. This little kneeling by the bed at night saying goodnight, Jesus, will not help. No, sir, that little old casual prayer you pray in the morning won't do it. Somebody's got to take time out. Somebody's got to put in a bill,
As I expected, I did not have the faith that I was losing. But maybe one or two.
God, I'd be willing to lay on my back.
There is a definite, distinct difference between this church and any other church.
Hallelujah.
No doubt, if we were like other men, other churches, we could have already numbered up quite a number of membership. No doubt we could have shook hands with quite a number already, signed them up, and they would be members. In fact, it's God's Word, it's pretty simple to do that. They don't even have to have a long revival, 10-day meetings long enough, write up quite a few. Many converts and what have you. But this church stands out, distinct, different, and separate from any other church in this town. We are not like the Egyptian woman. This church does not bring forth members like they bring forth members. This is not a card signing affair. Friend, when you get into this church, there's a process. It's not a handshake. It's not that, friend. It goes beyond that. There is a definite and distinct process to get in the church of the living God. And that process is this. It shall be said of Zion, this and that man was born in her. You don't get in this thing without birth. To get into this church, there's a distinct process of birth. And that makes us different from everything in the country.
All you have to do, of course, to get in those other places, just
raise your hand, make a decision for Christ, put your hand on the radio, shake your hand, sign a card, and that's it. And you're in. And you can't get out.
But it's different now. God's church,
for you to become a member of His church, there is a definite promise. And it's a lot more serious than some folks realize that it is. It's a lot more costly than some folks think it is. Every member of this church that I'm talking about, God's church. Every member of this church is not a member of God's church. I tell you that. Not only this church, but others.
Those names on rolls that don't even have anything to do with the name of the eternal roll.
But I'm talking about God's church. I'm talking about the one that has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone whose name goes on that great membership roll of the immortal scrolls of eternity came by a very definite plan, process. And it was costly. It did not just happen. It wasn't an automatic thing. It wasn't a casual thing. It was a process. They just don't have babies without mothers. I said, you just don't have babies without mothers. It has not come to the incubator deal so far. It has come like it always. You want to know how a baby is born? Go back there to the first. See how it was born. That's exactly how the last one will be born. And I say, if you want to know how to get in the church of the living God, go back there where the first ones got in, and that's how the last ones are going to get in.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
It's a process. There is a definite distinction. The Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. Thank God, I'm glad I realized that. Oh, listen, when somebody gets into this thing, it's not like joining the Lions Club or the Boy Scout meeting. I want you to know that. There's more involved than that. Oh, if God would help us as His people to realize the need of motherhood in the church. Now, there are at least four different groups involved in the birth of a child. There's the mother. There's the doctor or midwife. There's the relatives. And there are the friends. Four different groups. Now here in the book of Exodus we find mentioned midwives. And then there's another mention of midwives too. And of course the king had given orders for these midwives to, as they waited upon these Hebrew women to kill the men children. And they didn't do it. The Bible said they feared God. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. The people multiplied and waxed very mighty, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God that He made them houses. The king was very disturbed why they hadn't done this thing. And the answer was, they're not like the Egyptian women. They're lively and they're delivered. Ere the midwives come into them. There's a difference. There's a distinction. And of course, that is a very important point here, and I want this church to get attaining. When the church really gets lively, like it ought to, then of course you don't even need this midwife too. That's all in the world it's all the is, the midwife too. When the church gets lively enough, why, they can be born sitting back there on that bench. While the song service is going on, testimony service is going on.
Glory to God.
One night in the Houston and Brother Kilgore's church revival, while it was taking up an offering, the lady just prayed through to the Holy Ghost. Well, the offerings are not so bad after all. God filled a woman with the Holy Ghost while it was taking up an offering. It was because the Hebrew women had become lively.
Hallelujah. And were delivered. There the midwives came up.
I'll tell you where I got this message. And I preached it in, I guess, every church except one, and I read the text to preach it in it. It took sick and couldn't finish it.
The Lord spoke to me and told me to tell his people. Where I got this message is in my mother's church one night, under the little old tabernacle, all that smoke. There were several of us around a man there praying in the altar. No, we struggled. Just praying and praying, and it looked like we wasn't getting anywhere. Praying hard.
And of course, the rest of the church, as usual, was back in the back.
My message was great, and all like it. And all this actually making as much noise as we do, if not more.
Laughing, standing, staring old, walking. We was wrestling, praying, oh God. The confusion back there was hindering. Man didn't seem to be able to get his eye on the Lord. But after a while, somebody touched God. I don't know who it is. Somebody.
And the old boy threw his hands up and began to speak in tongues.
My ear hole came from the back.
Hallelujah! What? That's wonderful. Keep
fighting. The Lord. He told them to back off and get out of the way. Let them have a special. And I backed off and I began to watch. Oh, God love you, brother. We're so happy. Amen. God bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, there, dear sir. Oh, the Lord said, now, son, I want to teach you a lesson. Oh, I'm glad I learned. He said these folks that came up here, rushing up here, they are not the mother of their child. Mother, midwife, relative, friend. When a baby's born, you know, folks go to the hospital and look through that glass. When the baby is brought home, when I spoke to son, I don't know if the relatives are friends. They won't go with it. Be it known to you today that if there's any eye to be passed out, it's not those that the making and the doing and the doing over that moment. It's that little pale-faced woman that has suffered death to bring that baby here. There's the one that gets the honor. I said, there's the one that gets the honor. Wake up and hear me. There's the one. He said, these folks are only relatives. Now, there were three or four of us around him. And who became the mother, heaven only knows.
But even though there was three or four around does not mean that all three or all four of them were mothers. They were midwives. That's a good job. That's an honorable position. And God told us we need some good midwives.
Hallelujah.
I said we need some good midwives. That's the ones that stand around, that's the men sitting in their ears and say, hold on to God. Let me say, turn loose. Let me say, don't give up. Let me say, give up. That's what they do. That's it. Well, don't stop, for God's sake. Keep a hollering in his ear.
Hallelujah.
Oh, please do. Don't. Please do that. And we need some good midwives. That's all in the world that is midwives. And this is a midwife, too, right here. The only reason you need all the things in the church is when the Hebrew women are not right. This altar bench is made for one thing, and that is a midwife, too. God has never been good at plan that people walk around an altar bench all their life. I said he will not dwell in an unclean temple, which means if he hadn't come in, there's something in there that had to come out. Oh, he's so no older. It's nothing but the sin of unbelief, and of course that's enough to sin in the hell. God is just a fearful and unbelieving without their part. So it is nothing but the sin of unbelief. But anyhow, there are some cases where that it's necessary to have a midwife to assist in the birth of that child. And Lord knows we need some training along that line. Not against midwives. I'm pleading for more. But it doesn't really go on the record to honor the midwife. It's the mother. It's the hard to say the woman. May you pay for them that suffer and hold it. Then that baby is there standing on. Thank you. Take your hat to her. And don't forget it. God's got birth certificates recorded in the immortal souls of the country. You've got names on there who are mother that
is. God, hallelujah.
When the day comes to give out awards, he's going to award of the mother and give them their honor.
Hallelujah.
Some folks can live a lifetime in the church and never be nothing but a relative. Some can live a lifetime and never be nothing but a good midwife. But how can we be satisfied to just be a midwife? To know how to keep them praying, keep them shouting, keep them worshiping. How can we be satisfied?
Hallelujah.
And of course, some have never learned to be a good midwife. All they know to do is just certain little things that they've seen someone else do. And that can be dangerous. I know one man that told me that there was a young man that was praying on the altar. He looked at a slim young man. But this
big old robust fellow got him by the shoulders and was shaking him.
Chicken. That old boy came out, and another big one got up there in his place. Chicken. Let the puppy get out. And they couldn't bring him through, so we were standing up talking. That poor boy down there, and I just had to get a little relief. So we're standing up talking. When the evangelist got there, he heard us talk. You know what they're calling that? Sure. They said, listen, let's just start saying the most here. Well, we need some training along that line to get it out. I know in Houston, there was a boy there in the church, he never had guns. Came off close to it, but
They were some little fellows playing with him around there.
And one said behind him, one in front. And then just dressed right here. And he just, they call him getting a blessing. He just
bent
over and was laughing. Just laughing.
Laughing.
More he laughed, the more they come to find out, the poor boy,
he had hated to mention it to anybody because he didn't want to hurt folks.
Finally told one of us, he said,
"The men out there," he said, "I am so ticklish that I can't hold it."
He said, "Those fellas get me in the ribs. Give it back." And they thought he was getting a blessing, and they knew it was. Well, we need some training along the line of midwives.
We really do. We need some training.
You know, one boy came spelling the altar. Oh, he was hungry for God. He just fell in the altar. His hair was real long, and when he fell down, his hair just fell over him. And some old sister came and sat down in my hair. And she wasn't moved. About an hour later, that poor boy, he was trying to get up, but he couldn't. His hair was caught. And naturally, he never came back. Another day.
Hallelujah.
I see him that
stood by and they knocked all the blessing out of him. They start to get the Holy Ghost.
And they want another second. Come on, you get it. Already talking himself. And maybe when the new convert has talked in tongues a while, maybe he did get all the joy that he will get. But he talked himself. And there'll be some more joy coming along, but I've seen him turn back. And I know saints right today had the Holy Ghost for years, still has it back. Over, they heard somebody say, the night they prayed through, they heard somebody say, "I don't do it," and they got it. And to this day, still has a fire. When that new faith is born, you know what you need to do? You need to give it a smile. Now, welcome in here, it's tender.
You send our friend, it's doubt, and it's experience.
Poor little thing, you don't know any better.
Hallelujah.
Do something wrong? Maybe I haven't got it. I've actually had to fight some of these old sore heads off of these days.
Hallelujah.
Them already here and already spanking and made them cry. And they said, "Brother, he ain't born yet. He ain't yet. And I ain't home. Didn't get it like I got it. Keep on, you'll get it."
And young man, I'm just sorry. God gave the Holy Ghost that night. We were flying from Barranquilla, Colombia to Bogota, Colombia, South American Airlines. Young Jewish boy on that plane, salesman for that airline, to speak five different languages and one of those English. Began to talk and he began to ask some questions. Found out we were preachers. He said to me, he said, "Now I don't want you to think that I'm being critical, but I would really like to ask some questions." He said, "Now you talk about this man, Jesus Christ. Great. But he was so great. And you, of course, declare him to be God and was so great. Why did he have to hurt himself, suffer, to save? Why didn't he just reach out and save?" I was so thankful he asked that question. That gave me the greatest opportunity to witness about our lovely Lord. To save. If he was so great. That's what makes this story so beautiful. Man had never seen the outstretched love of God
until Jesus Christ came and suffered for him. God prescribed a plan of salvation, deliverance for people. In his prescription, he required there be a sufferer. And that, of course, became himself. How would man know his real love? How would they know? If he just by a master hand reached out and said, "All right, I'm going to save you and you." That would have been power. That would have been majesty. But that would not have... A beautiful story is depicted and portrayed to us in the book of Songs of Solomon. And for a long time, I never could quite understand Songs of Solomon. It's a beautiful book, but it's kind of a mystery until you know the key. That story is beautiful. Solomon, the great king that could command, just whatever he wanted, that's what he did. Had all of the resources at his command. Chariots and soldiers and had many wives, many concubines. He decided he wanted a certain girl he just sent for. That was all. There was good. And there was no question. She had their daughter. She had the gun. But the beauty of that story, there was one that he found one day and decided that it would be unfair to himself, to her, to just take her by command. She become his bride. And Solomon literally, for a time, left his throne, ordered a shepherd's guard, and lived on the mountains around about his kingdom as a shepherd. He tended sheep, just like a lowly shepherd. Beside the vineyard that this girl was tending. All of this time she did not know him, who he was. But the courtship began. Finally one day he told her, said, "I've got to leave. You won't see me for a while, but I'll be coming back." He had finally won her heart. And the second, third chapters, and even to the fifth chapter, the book of Songs of Solomon, is dreams that she had about him. She's dreaming about him. A beautiful story. Finally, one day, of course, he had instructed her to stay close to the vineyard, a certain spot there in the vineyard. One day she said she saw him coming, leaping on the hill with this mighty, valiant man and chariot. Solomon had come after his bride. That story is beautiful, but there's far more beautiful story that it really represents. And that's when our lovely Lord disrobed himself of his royal glory and power, put on himself a shepherd's garb, as it were. He could have demanded every one of us to serve him this morning. We'd had no choice, but he'd rather woo us unto him. And that's the reason he came the way he did. To court this human family and to get out of it a bride. And I'm very glad that I yielded to the courtship. Thrilled over today. Praise God and praise God. Now we encourage you to be much in prayer this afternoon for the service tonight. We're able to see visitors here today and so many of you coming out. We wish you could come in the night services. We'd be like you're missing something.
discovering so